across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Back on the lake, almost back with a voice. Welcome to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Friday, August 4th, across the Civic Media Radio Network. This is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. You're welcome. I've just ruined everybody's breakfast because now all you can think about is, how do I get some chocolate chip cookies today? Do I got to make them? Do I guilt somebody who lives under my roof here to make me some? I could do that or go pick some up later. Anyway, it's Friday. Where was I before I got distracted with cookies? Oh, coming up this hour, we'll talk about a mile of music and mountains of memories all being made in Appleton. The mile of music is getting known nationwide, not just as a celebration of music, especially the independent, unsigned bands, but also for the tremendous support the community provides to the individual musicians, the dedication to music education, the strict adherence to, you know, being free of, you know, harassment, equality of opportunity. And so we're looking forward to learning all about that from Kim Willems come up later in this half hour. We'll talk to Mark Jacob later this hour about how national media coverage has unfolded with former President Trump's most recent criminal arraignment. And we look to talk to Dan Schumacher and discuss sports coming up for the weekend as well before we wrap up our week. If you missed us in the last hour, you should know that Up North News Radio is a podcast, not just a radio show, along with all the other programs across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can look back at any time. Go to civicmedia.us, and you can see all the different shows, all the different hour-by-hour episodes, and you can subscribe to any one of them or all of them as a podcast and listen on your own time schedule as well, because I've heard from some people they don't like to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to listen to a radio show. So if you're listening via podcast on Spotify, Apple, otherwise, or watching the playback later on one of our social media channels, we appreciate that very much. 844-967-2789 is the phone number. Another reminder that Civic Pints is still going on through the month of August because blood banks across Wisconsin run very short this time of year, and so we are happy to tell you about a statewide blood donation challenge called Civic Pints. Go give blood, take a selfie, go to the website, get yourself registered, and you could win all kinds of great prizes, including Brewers tickets. Learn more at Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us. Vice President Kamala Harris was in southeast Wisconsin yesterday talking about infrastructure and broadband specifically, talking up a more than $1 billion investment in high-speed internet that is coming from the Biden and Harris administration through the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act and more. She appeared with Senator Tammy Baldwin and the Secretary of Commerce and talked more about a plant by Sanmina Corporation near Kenosha, where Nokia, the Swedish telecommunications firm, is going to make new broadband network electronic products starting next year. It'll add up to 200 jobs that the company says are being onshored from overseas, and that Nokia is going to be the first company to manufacture broadband electronic products in the United States, something that the vice president said is a direct result of the Biden administration's economic plan. Keep in mind, again, that this $1 billion coming to help expand high-speed internet in Wisconsin was supposed to be married with a state investment as well, and Governor Evers called for $750 million to help go the last mile, to get more communities, to get more small businesses, to get more farms, to get more people connected to reliable, fast internet. That's not happening because Republicans in the state legislature cut that $750 million request to $0. They said at the time that the federal money is going to be there and that that $1 billion is enough, and yet, I say, going off somewhat on a tangent, why haven't they accepted the federal money to strengthen Badger Care? It's the same kind of deal. Is the federal money a sure commitment, or is it not? Is it an illusion, or does it materialize? Or are you just making things up as you go along for partisan reasons instead of serving the people of Wisconsin? But I digress. This continues to be part of where the Biden and Harris administration is just straight up embracing the moniker of Bidenomics, because it was, the word was going to be out there anyway, and Republicans were going to try to turn it into a pejorative. The Biden administration has seen how things have been working. Its policies have been increasing manufacturing back in the U.S., has been taming inflation, and has said, no, thank you, Republicans. We will take that label. We'll wear it proudly, just like the label Cheesehead, again, was designed as an insult by Bears fans. And those of us in Wisconsin said, no, thanks. We'll wear that one as well. Bidenomics is something you'll hear from the president. Recall he visited a labor union training center near Madison not that terribly long ago. Expect many more visits talking about Bidenomics and broadband and infrastructure, all of that ahead of the 2024, the formal presidential election campaign. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get the full weatherology forecast heading into the weekend. We will have a Brewers update, and then we're going to talk to Kim Willems from Upple and Appleton about the Mile of Music and all of the great things there, not just for the attendees, but for the participants as well. It's a real outpouring of community support for the arts. So that and more coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll be back wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on Up North News Radio. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be back. Division-leading Milwaukee Brewers are back atop the National League Central after demolishing the Pittsburgh Pirates last night, 14-1. Rookies Bryce Durang and Sal Frelick each hit three-run homers, and with the Cubs beating the Reds, that puts the Brewers back atop the division a half game over the Reds, but now just only 2.5 games behind the Cubs, who are surging as well. The series continues this evening with Colin Ray getting the start for the Brewers. Meanwhile, good news on the injury front. Brian Anderson has been reactivated, and pitcher Brandon Woodruff could be returning as early as Sunday's game against the Pirates. Time to check the weather forecast throughout the state of Wisconsin. Some changes ahead for the weekend. Here's meteorologist Jennifer Wachitsky of Weatherology with all the details. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it looks like another muggy one ahead for today. Mid to upper 80s with sunshine expected across the board. A little cooler towards Lake Michigan, getting into the upper 70s around Milwaukee. Some areas of haze due to wildfire smoke around central Wisconsin. Saturday, it looks like a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms starting to come into west central Wisconsin in the afternoon. Then a chance for storms for everyone by the evening hours. Partial sunshine developing for everyone. Mid to low 80s for most. Again, in the upper 70s around Lake Michigan. Sunday, it looks like a decent chance for showers and storms for everyone, actually. And along with that, some severe weather potential. A marginal risk for severe weather, a level 1 out of 5 on the severe weather scale for Oshkosh over to Madison. Then a slight risk, a level 2 out of 5 around Waukesha and Milwaukee. Slightly cooler Sunday as well, with highs in the mid-70s to the low 80s. Then to start off the work week, chance for showers and storms for most, but sunny skies around Amory and Baldwin with fairly similar temperatures to Sunday, lingering in the mid-70s to right around about 80.
All right. You heard the woman. Plan accordingly for the weekend as things are coming in. Jennifer, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You too.
All right. Let's get details now on Appleton's Mile of Music. This is going to be a lot of fun, especially before any rains move in later in the weekend. So Kim Willems joins us now from the Mile of Music team to tell us what's happening in the Fox Valley. Kim, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so nice to have you here. I only learned about the Mile of Music last year. We sent a freelance reporter up there to come back with some video. I was just expecting, you know, another music festival, great bands, great music, nothing wrong with that. But he was telling me that there was so much more than that about Mile of Music. So let's start at the beginning and explain just what exactly Mile of Music is, and then we'll get into what makes it so unique and special.
Yeah, awesome. So Mile of Music is a four-day music festival running this weekend, August 3rd through 6th. And we celebrate original music, which I think is really unique in itself. But we have 200 artists in 40 different venues throughout downtown. So that's bars, coffee shops, parks, kind of you name it. We try and get music in there. And we have such a great downtown. So it's really cool that we have such a footprint for a festival like this. It really is a mile long. It might technically be like 1.1, but we have music all up and down College Avenue.
And the music, if I understood correctly, and again, just going on secondhand info from last year, but these are these primarily or exclusively bands that like don't have recording contracts, maybe don't even have managers?
Yeah, so it kind of depends. I mean, with 200 artists, they're all going to have different situations, but we do focus on original up-and-coming music or up-and-coming artists. So that's a, you know, really unique point as well. And I guess I should also mention before I forget that everything is free.
Yeah, and that's the thing that makes it special, because you can't do that without a whole lot of support, both volunteer, donation, and otherwise. And so you already have, just if you heard nothing else, you have this dedication to, again, the grassroots of music, you know, the folks who are relatively new or up and coming, you know, still trying to make it. But there's even more to it in terms of the community support. There are members of the community who aren't just passive listeners, but they're actually providing services of some sort to some of the artists. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so we have what's called the Artist Care Program, which started, I believe, in 2015. So mile three, we call that. We kind of call each mile one through now this is mile 10. So the Artist Care Program started in mile three. And this year we have 13 different providers. I'm not going to remember them all off the top of my head, unfortunately. But we have dental care, so folks can go get their teeth looked at, just like basic cleanings and checking for other things. And we have a dermatologist, we have massage therapy, we have emotional support therapy. So just a lot of really great programs. Oh, I think one that the artists have really been enjoying this year is the hearing. We do hearing screenings and custom ear molds, which is obviously crucial for something that they do.
That one really stuck out for me last year, because obviously they're in a profession where they're working around, you know, loud music and amplifiers and everything else. It's just so the polar opposite of when you think of the musicians who have the mega concerts, and when they go in, they demand all of these services, you know, the bowl of a single color of M&Ms and, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's completely turned on its head in the way that, you know, these musicians, they're getting, I don't want to be over dramatic here, but they're getting their butts kicked on the road. I mean, they are working crazy hours. They're, you know, scrimping around for gas money. They come here, they not only collect some love when they're on stage, but collecting some love off stage. What does that tell you just about the Appleton and the Fox Valley community overall and its support for the arts?
Yeah, I think we definitely have seen over the years that people really want to come back, which is a great thing. We've had over 1,100 artists since mile one through to this year. So obviously we can't have all of those returning artists back every year. We wish we could, of course, but people really embraced this idea. And I think it's spawned so many other different original music ideas, but also just other arts ideas in general. And I think this community is really, we're still growing in the arts community, but I think we're definitely a step of the way there.
It reminds me of the news story I saw yesterday about Taylor Swift donating, I guess, millions of dollars in bonuses to the road crew on her tour. And so, again, it's not just at the grassroots level, but every so often you see some big names. Remember, well, you know what? I was teasing Aaron, our producer here, yesterday. He's a little young. He wasn't familiar with the Loadout, the Jackson Brown song that's all about the roadies that are out there. But what I'm saying is that overall, I feel like more and more people are taking musicians and artists and the people who support them for granted less than maybe we used to.
Yeah, and I think maybe the pandemic had a lot to do with that it's just, now we're bringing back these live experiences, and we didn't have a festival in 2020, and the year after it was, you know, so much support for local artists, for returning artists and new artists, and people were just really excited to be back to having those live experiences. And I hope we don't lose sight of that, you know, as we get further and further out from coming out of the pandemic. But I think that's a really important point, that it really takes a village, and we have a great production team as well that we contract with sound engineers, and those are also really the people that make it happen, because you need sound to be able to hear the music.
Exactly. Now, as I was looking at the website, which, by the way, is mileofmusic.com, mm-hmm. one thing that also stood out for me was the Mile of Music's vision of respect. And in a time where it seems like basic respect is being pushed back on at everywhere from, you know, basic cable talk shows to powerful politicians, it's a very strong statement that we're going to respect one another and all the differences, you know, that we have amongst each other, and that, you know, harassment, not just the obvious type, but the subtle type as well, has no place there.
Absolutely. And I think we have such a diverse group of artists in all sorts of different ways. But it goes beyond that, because we want to have members of the community who fall into any category feel welcome in this area. And I think that's a really important statement just in general. And it's just good words to live by too.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about people who would be coming there as visitors. What mm-hmm. what kinds of advice and tips you would give to them? Because I obviously am getting the impression of a very busy, which is a good thing, but also very congested downtown. So how do you try to make things easy for the attendees?
Yeah, so there have been a recent number of recent traffic changes downtown, which we're kind of seeing how that's all going to work, you know, first time with a busier event since they made those changes. We highly recommend just, you know, taking a little extra time to make sure that you have time to get where you're going. We do have, for pedestrian traffic, we've segmented off and put barricades up so people can walk in what was parking spaces on the street, just so the sidewalk doesn't get so congested. Parking ramps are a great option for kind of all day parking. It's a $6 maximum, I believe, which is a steal. So,
yes.
And then we have, I really recommend our mobile app too. You can search Mile of Music in the App Store or Google Play. And we have a local app developer that does our app, and it is amazing. Core BTS is the developer. And it's a free app. You can see all of our venues, all of our artists. It's kind of a one-stop shop for everything right in your pocket.
There really is an app for everything now, isn't there? For folks that go, again, when we think of supporting musicians, I mean, you see the tip jar in front of the stage, or, mm-hmm. you know, you buy a CD, if there are CDs anymore. Grandpa doesn't really know how this works nowadays. But for folks that want to do more to support, you know, I don't know if it goes as far as the sponsorship level, but mm-hmm. what are the other ways that people attending or not attending can support what Mile of Music does?
Yeah, so we definitely recommend supporting the artists with their merch. They get to keep 100% of their merch sales when they're here, which is not always true at every festival. So, but for us, we have different forms of sponsorship, but then we also just in 2021 started a nonprofit called Appleton Community Music, and we are going to have, they're called dip jars. You dip your credit card in to donate. Those are at all of our merchandise stations, and we also can accept donations on the Appleton Community Music website. That helps to pay for all of the artist performance fees, because all of our artists do get paid. And then we also provide lodging for the artists that are out of town that need lodging.
And then for the musicians of the future, there is a real dedication to music education, saying right off the top, music is a birthright. Talk about the commitment to music education.
Yeah, our music education team is awesome. They've been a part of our festival since year one, so it's really special to have them back again this year. They're doing 33 participatory performances, so you can really go and make music with them. The coolest thing about music education is it's for all ages, so with the exception of a few that are like birth to five and things like that, but anyone can go in, make music, and have a great time, and you know, it's a great focus to kind of just awaken that inner, we all have that inner musician. So just kind of awakening that sense.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking at the schedule now and you've got First Steps in Music, which is ages, you know, birth to five. Mm-hmm. You've got a ukulele workshop, ages 10 to adult, hip hop, mariachi, stories that sing, acoustic guitar workshop, so much more here. So go to mileofmusic.com and learn more about it. Kim Willems, thank you so much. This sounds just amazing. Hope it's a wonderful weekend for you and all the artists and volunteers there as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Have a great weekend. All right, let's take a break here. And when we come back, our friend Mark Jacob, former editor with the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times, will join us. We'll talk about national media coverage, primarily, of course, this week with Trump's latest criminal arraignment, but much more as well from national news coming up right after this on Up North News Radio. We'll be back. Up North News puts out a newsletter early every morning. You can sign up for it at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner. Find out what are the new stories at the Up North News website and our social media feeds and much more. Links to other outlets that are talking about things that are unabashedly Wisconsin. Aaron, I sense that we, without Mark Jacob here, are suffering the misfortune of having taken three Fridays off. That absence sometimes makes the heart grow fonder, and sometimes absence makes the heart grow absent. So I have sent another note to Mark, but when you miss three Fridays in a row, as we did, I can see how you fall out of habits.
Yeah, that's a very reasonable mistake.
Which again, I'm not faulting him. We've sent a couple of notes over here, but we had the last two Fridays off for family reasons when I had the grandkids here. Making me sick, but I love them. And then the weekend before was the somewhat chaotic move to the new studio there. So while we, since that's part of the blame, we're going to use that for part of the segment. How's that transition working out? It seems to be okay. Although I know that you have to go to another room to switch a volume knob, but other than that, you know.
Yeah, there's just a couple little annoying things like that, but they're not too bad. I mean, mostly I just set it and I have to set it in the morning because other people don't have as young of ears as I do and they need to turn it up higher.
Is that how that works? Okay.
That's how I'll say it, yeah.
But you managed, you're no longer, you've traded in the small closet, and I don't know, maybe... I don't want you to do it right now. You're manning the board and everything, but I feel like for folks that watch us on a video stream, or you guys should put together a short video kind of giving a tour of the new facilities, because I see one wall behind you with what, I don't know if that's a bulletin board or just a sound tile or a cabinet, but there's so much more to it. It's quite a facility.
That is a good idea. We should do that.
I think who would do that? Could be Luke, maybe, or could be you, could be Todd. I think somebody should just take a GoPro and walk around and show us what's what.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look, see if we have a camera around here. I could just use my phone, I guess.
Yeah. Well, if we do that, then we've got something that we can throw up on social media there and let people see exactly what it is we do. You know what? It just occurred to me, I'm going to be down there next week, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm going to do the shows from down there. I haven't seen the finished product. So you know what? We'll make arrangements to do that.
There we go.
Probably, you know, while I'm down there, maybe after Wednesday morning show, we'll do a little video and we'll let people know about it Thursday where they can see it and finally see what the heck is going on. Why do we keep talking about all this stuff? So we'll look forward to that. All right. A little reminder here that the Green Bay Packers are coming up with their season, and you can hear all the Packers games on WRJN in Racine, the Civic Media Radio Network station in the Racine-Kenosha area. Your business can be part of all the action when you become a sponsor of the Packer broadcasts. You just need to contact the Civic Media marketing team to get signed up. Not just for the Packers, but across the Civic Media Network, there are stations that have the Wisconsin Badgers, local high school sports broadcasts, and more. So you should call. You should make an appointment and talk to a marketing team member all about the opportunity. And that number is 608-819-8255. That's 608-819-8255. 8255. Appointments are filling up fast and sponsorships are limited. So again, to be affiliated with Packers football games on WRJN in Racine or action all across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, call 608-819-8255. Again, 608-819-8255. Now, having hit you up with that phone number four times, I'm going to give you the other one, the one to call here, since we've got a few extra minutes to find out what's on your mind, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789 to tell us your thoughts. Maybe you've been up to the Appleton Mile of Music and you want to tell people all about it, or you have some thoughts on the arraignment of Donald Trump over, you know, over these past couple of days. And whether you're feeling, here's what I'd really like to know. We can hear from the usual suspects, the talking heads on cable stations. We can hear from Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio and all the other bootlickers that are out there. The people I am much more interested in are my Republican or Republican-leaning neighbors and friends. And I don't get to talk to them as much now because I've got this very early morning radio show and I work from home exclusively. I don't get out much anymore, to pardon the cliche. And I would really like to chat with a few more of them, hoisting a beer or two or an old fashioned and saying, where are you at on all this? In other words, if despite all of these allegations, shall we say, despite the conspiracy, which we know is real, it's just whether it rises to the level of a criminal conspiracy. If Donald Trump is the nominee, are you still going to vote for him over Joe Biden, or are you going to sit this one out? And then we can analyze whether enough Republicans sitting out is good news for the Biden-Harris ticket or not. But I really want to know if there are people who are just outwardly hostile to Trump and are you know, actually urging their other Republican friends and neighbors not to go along and vote, even if Trump is the nominee this time around. So what does your rank and file Republican leaning voter, what do they think these days? Not the Trump base. I mean, there are just some folks. I get emails, you know, from them that say, you know, I'm proud MAGA and the election was stolen. And I might even try to find an example or two here just because they're just, some of them are written in such a, you know, a cryptic language. What is it? Like, you know, close our borders and, well, I'm not even going to blame, you know.
Just a bunch of, just a bunch of QAnon quotes, basically.
Yes, essentially, you know. And so anyway, I would just want to know what folks think about that with their Republican friends, or if you happen to be one of those who likes to listen to, you know, this radio show. First off, thank you. Second, what do you think? CJ from Stoughton has some thoughts on that. CJ, how are you?
I'm good, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm voting Republican regardless of who the nominee is. I am worried about the two tiers of justice. You know, who is Jack Smith's boss? Merrick Garland. Who's Merrick Garland's boss? Joe Biden. And when you talk, and I do enjoy listening to your station, obviously, but when you talk about the judges, you always will say, maybe not you particular, but many hosts will say, the Trump-appointed judge. Well, this judge is an Obama-appointed judge. And we found out our Department of Justice put the thumb on the scale in 2016, 2020, and we have good reason to believe right now the way they've handled the big guy, and remind the listeners, it's about the big guy. It's not about Hunter Biden. But I'm voting Republican because of the 1.4% inflation rate and the 6.8% GDP growth that the Trump economy had. So,
okay. Okay, I respect all of that. I do want to come back to something you said right off the top, out of genuine curiosity about, you know, who is Jack Smith's boss, Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland's boss is Joe Biden. So here's my question, and granted, it's theoretical, but under that thinking, then no prosecutor could touch, in this case, Donald Trump for anything. So if he literally did shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and he's prosecuted for that, is that a political prosecution as well? Who can prosecute Donald Trump if, in your mind, he actually commits a crime?
Well, I'm not saying he couldn't be prosecuted.
Okay.
For the murder, whatever charge. So,
but you don't think anything about the election. You don't think anything about the 2020 election, any of the things that you've heard about January 6th, to you, none of this rises to the level of a criminal conspiracy to overturn the election. Am I right in assuming that?
Well, when you hear him say in his speech, "Go in peace," and you never saw that played on January 6th committee. He said it on the speech. Go in peace to the Capitol and fight like hell. He didn't say attack. And yes, we're going to take this over. So that January 6th committee was a joke. And we found out that they pick and choose the videos that they played. They were complaining that 11,000 hours were given to Tucker Carlson. Well, why? Why were they complaining about that? Because the truth be told, we now know the Department of Justice, through Christopher Wray, said they had plants in that audience. And that's from who I believe is part of this questionable DOJ. So,
okay, that part I get. I get the thoughts on that, CJ. I'm going to move on to another call here, but I appreciate it very much. I appreciate you listening. And let's turn next to Bill and Economowoc and see what he has to say for us this morning. Bill, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having CJ on, and thank you for this radio station where you allow people like CJ and Gary and a bunch of other people who are leaning with Trump to explain why they're leaning with Trump. And then one thing, if Gary calls back or whatever, or I mean CJ, what does CJ think domestic terrorism is? And do all our politicians take an oath of office to protect the country from domestic terrorism? Those are the only two questions I'd love to hear come from these Republicans, how they view domestic terrorism and the oath of office. Thanks so much for your time, and you got a great show. Keep it up.
Well, Bill, thank you so much. I appreciate that. CJ, it looks like you're still on hold here. Are you still with us?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, there you go. CJ, yeah. Were you able to hear Bill's question about domestic terrorism?
Just part of it.
Okay. He was asking, you know, what do you do about actual domestic terrorism? And I think that's, you know, let me try to extend his question, meaning not just the people who attacked the Capitol. Obviously, many of them were violent, but they somehow were motivated by something or somebody. Does somebody have to say the exact words, rob a bank, for that person to be convicted of planning the bank robbery? I guess that's kind of my question to you. Is Trump can say go in peace, but he did also say fight like hell.
Right. Well, I think the people that are being charged in January 6th, the ones that hurt police officers, destroyed property, they are being convicted, and they should be. But the ones that are in there taking selfies with statues, there's a difference. There is a difference. And the mere fact that I believe the Democrats finally cared about crime only when January 6th happened. And they only care about illegal immigration once it went to Martha's Vineyard. They still don't care about it. And Black Lives Matter, you don't see any of those leaders supporting cities and supporting the violence that goes on. So those leaders ran away with millions and millions of dollars and bought mansions and they bought cars and they're proud of it.
Okay.
But still, so.
All right. CJ, I appreciate it. I got to run to break here, but I clearly get where you are coming from on this, and I do thank you for calling in, and to Bill as well for helping us cover, you know, a little bit of ground on a pretty basic issue here. Is people that are still going to vote Republican, we're still thinking about voting Republican. What are your thoughts? And now I think other listeners to this program understand some of the mindset. And it's up to every one of us to decide how we continue that conversation with our friends and neighbors, how we do so in a manner that is respectful, but also doesn't shy away from the facts and not just how we think somebody was operating on some of those fateful days. Dan Schumacher joins us next. You're up north. Every kind of people. Back with Dan Schumacher, the Executive Director of Athletics at Northland College, talking to us as we always do to wrap up the week, kind of looking at sports and some of the other fun things coming up ahead of the weekend. It's been a while. We've been off for a few Fridays here, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good, Pat. How are you? I know you've been under the weather.
Under the weather and family things, so we're all just kind of playing catch up here for the second half of summer. Last we checked in with you, as you were looking to build up the sports program up there, I think you were looking to add something like, you know, 42 more sports, you know, cribbage, pinochle, whatever. What are you adding these days? What are you working on most?
Well, we did announce, about 2 weeks ago, and then we've started the job process of hiring a wrestling coach, bringing back wrestling. So technically it's reinstating wrestling for men, but we will start women's wrestling along with it. So wrestling amongst the female gender has increased hugely in the state of Wisconsin. In fact, last year they had their first state championship held as a Wisconsin high school state sport. So it's growing interest, and we're going to try to stay on top of that type of market. There's only UW-Stevens Point, and now UW-Oshkosh just announced women's wrestling. So it's coming around. And it'll probably be the next big greatest fad amongst Division III for enrollment purposes.
Okay, and this is only a rumor at this point, but are you being approached to join the Pac-12? Because it seems like they don't have any, they're bleeding teams over there as the Big Ten becomes like the Big 46 or something.
Yeah, you know, that's just amazing to me. I thought it was going to end at UCLA and USC.
Yeah,
because you got the TV market you wanted. For the Big Ten, because this is all about the Big Ten network. This is all about TV revenue, which they get their largest distribution from the Big Ten network. I think it was $47 million this past year each Big Ten school got. So it's all about that. And, you know, people asked, why'd they go to the East Coast? Well, it was all about TV market. That's why they picked up Rutgers and Maryland and whatnot. So, you know, I understand the business plan, but now you're talking about a super conference. I don't know how you manage that.
I don't either. And like I said, it's one thing to put the football team on a charter jet and maybe a couple of the other things, but you know, are you really sending the golf team both to Rutgers and to Los Angeles, you know, for conference matches? Yeah. And then you have to fund that.
Sending baseball and softball and volleyball out to those places to play.
It's a long way from, just playing the schools that are a bus ride away. Brewers gave a shellacking to the Pittsburgh Pirates last night, 14-1, and then the Cubs beat the Reds. And so while the Brewers are back on top of the Reds by half a game, Dan, here come the Cubs, only 2.5 back.
Yes, they did, and they were making moves last week. How about that?
Yeah.
They were making some trades. I don't think I can recall that happening. Where Jed Hoyer, I think he just put the gauntlet down and says, we're going to go for it. Usually the Cubs don't do that. They're pretty conservative when it comes to that, especially after the 4th of July break, the All-Star break. So, I don't know what to make of it, but they're playing well, and they're a young team, and they're hitting the snot out of the ball.
While we're doing baseball, I just have to say again, Shohei Ohtani. I mean, what this, and not just that, but that he does all of these amazing things and his team still finds ways to lose. Last night, he pitched 4 scoreless innings, struck out 4. He singled. He walked twice. He stole a base. He scored a game-tying run from second on a single, and he hit a home run to put his team up by 2 runs. But then they lost to Seattle 5-3. I mean, I'm really still kind of surprised that they didn't move him last week at the deadline, that the Angels are saying, don't worry, just stay here. We're going to find a way to win these games.
I don't know how his teammates look him in the eye in the locker room.
I don't either. I mean, just the superhuman things that he is doing. We will both admit that we have not watched the Women's World Cup yet, but again, I love New Zealand and Australia. I've been there, but it's many time zones away. So I'm an early riser as it is. So if I happen to be awake, at 4 a.m. on Sunday, and I'll tell you, the odds are 50-50. So I will definitely watch it if it's on, but I haven't caught anything yet. So we'll see how U.S. does against Sweden. And obviously there will be more people watching if the women advance after Sunday.
Right. Hey, the other shout out is to all of the high school football players that started football this week's practice started and preseason. And as you and I get lucky, we get nice TV coverage around here and get to preview all the local teams, all in the Chippewa Valley and beyond. So exciting time for high schoolers as their seniors, those seniors that are one last try at on the gridiron is a special time.
Yeah, very much so. And that meanwhile, at the pro level, I didn't know it was coming. I don't pay much of any attention to the NFL exhibition games, but the first one was last night, the Hall of Fame game involving the Jets, but not Aaron Rodgers. Didn't suit up for this one. He was coaching the backup quarterback on the bench, I guess, last night.
I see. Number 8 was just sitting it out today.
Yeah. Because with everything they're paying him, why would you risk just some kind of injury? Can you imagine that? In an exhibition game that Rodgers goes down. Yeah. And yet, if you don't play those games where you risk injury, you're rusty. And you come into week 1 and who was for the Washington football team? Robert Griffith III, right?
Yes, the quarterback out of Rice.
He was supposed to be all that. And then what was it? One of the early weeks, he wrenched his knee or something, and that was pretty much it.
Yep. He was a Heisman hopeful that year, his senior year, mm-hmm. when he was playing quarterback. So,
he was so electric as a college quarterback, but just could not get it done that way. Meanwhile, you mentioned at the college level, the Badgers, are they down in Platteville training?
Yeah, unusual. Okay. I mean, when people think of something like that, they think, remember the Chicago Bears used to host their preseason at UW-Platteville all those years. Mm-hmm. Part of the old Cheese League, what they used to call it, remember?
Yeah.
Kansas City at River Falls, right? Yeah, you even had the Packers at St. Norbert's and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the Badgers, like I said, Northwestern does it where they did underneath Pat Fitzgerald. They would go to Carthage College to train instead of being on campus. So the Badgers chose to go down the road to UW-Platteville and utilize that space to have some private time. I don't know what the relationship is there. I guess if I was in the AD room, I'd probably ask the AD at Platteville, how did that happen? But I have not had that chance mm-hmm. how that came about.
Last but not least, belated happy birthday greetings. You around this time of year, always like to talk about the days between Jerry Garcia's birth date and the date of his passing. We talked about it here on the program a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's been a very introspective time for you, but I'm aware there might be a little celebration of it coming up this weekend. So I'm looking forward to finally seeing you for the first time in a month here.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be a good time. And hopefully the weather holds out and it'll be a fantastic day.
As you keep trying to catch up to me in age, but I somehow keep outrunning you. All right. Have a great day. I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Take it easy.
Thanks, man. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for being with us, especially throughout this week. It's awfully nice to have a voice back again, and I'll try to get it all the way back up into working order. On Monday, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski will join us, along with special guests all throughout the week here. So thanks again. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday morning, 6 a.m.